WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump's back in Washington because of the Iran-Israel attacks, having left the G7 summit in Canada earlier than expected. And so did ABC's Mary Bruce traveling with him.
Trump telling reporters there on Air Force One that he decided to race back to the White House so that he could, quote, be a little more well-versed and not have to rely on phones as he navigates this crisis.
In Tel Aviv, ABC's Ian Pannell.
A mass exodus from the Iranian capital following warnings from President Trump and Israel. Huge lines of cars, bumper to bumper on the road out of Tehran.
One of the worst Russian air attacks on Ukraine's capital happened overnight. Drones and missiles killing at least 14, say Ukrainian officials. Makers of many things to eat, including cream cheese, Jell-O, Kool-Aid, and Lunchables, the Kraft Heinz Company announcing it will not launch any new products in the U.S. with artificial colors effective immediately. The company says it's already removed the coloring from 90% of its products. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers issued a proclamation declaring June 16th as Quick Trip Day throughout the state on Monday. The proclamation came on the 60th anniversary of the first Quick Trip location opening in Eau Claire in 1965. The organization has since grown to become one of the largest retail chains in the region. The official proclamation from Governor Evers also noted that Quick Trip has become recognized nationally as one of the best large employers and supports local communities through various programs and sponsorships. Some state lawmakers are expressing concerns about proposed legislation to include a plain language explanation for ballot referendums. The legislation specifies that the explanation would be written by the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau, but could be revised by lawmakers afterwards. Critics of the proposal say the legislative majority could have too much control over the process. They also argue the language of the legislation fails to define what exactly plain language means and that it lacks an enforcement mechanism to ensure fairness. A New Richmond man was seriously injured in a two-vehicle crash on Friday morning. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, the crash occurred at around 9:30 a.m. on Business 63 near New Richmond. The 52-year-old was traveling east on the roadway when he crossed over the center line and struck a highway department truck head-on. He was removed from his vehicle when authorities arrived at the scene and was taken to Regents Hospital with life-threatening injuries. The driver of the highway department truck was not injured in the crash. The city of Superior has brought in goats to help manage the spread of an invasive plant species in Billings Park. The practice of using grazing animals to manage vegetation has become increasingly popular over recent years, protecting soil, water, and wildlife in the areas where invasive species need to be dealt with. The goats in Superior are targeting buckthorn at Billings Park and will spend about a week and a half chewing up the invasive plant. Residents visiting the park are welcome to watch the goats do their work, but should not touch or feed them. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A win for OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Thunder beat the Pacers 120-109 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton re-injuring that right ankle and calf muscle in the first quarter ended up with only 4 points in 34 minutes of play. The Thunder's Jalen Williams with a career-high 40 points in the postseason asked, was that the game plan or are shots just dropping in for him?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't want to give too much into the game plan, but a lot of it is just me being aggressive, seeing what's open and taking those shots.
Game 6 is Thursday night in Indy. Baseball, the Brewers face the first-place Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago with a 5.5-game lead in the NL Central. Ahead of the crew, pitcher Colin Ray on the kind of standard manager Craig Counsell has set in the Cubs clubhouse this year.
Yeah, I think he just has the expectations of us doing the little things right, coming in every single day, giving your best effort, holding each other accountable for those things when you step through those doors every single day.
That's Cubs pitcher Colin Ray with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 55. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers or a thunder shower and a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early, Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins me for some movie talk, and then Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music writer Piet Levy joins me to talk Summerfest. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north at 8:06 on this Tuesday morning, June 17th. And still ahead, Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO is going to be here. Dan Schaefer will be along at the bottom of the hour. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. But first, from the text line, responding to Fred in Cottage Grove, who says, am I too late for the tickets? Been busy and have not checked my phone. Yes, Fred, you are several days too late. The Scotty Summer Text to Win contest ran through last Friday. But thank you for the immediate paranoia. I went crazy, Parker, quickly looking at, like, did I miss? I'm looking over here. I'm looking to see if other stations' text lines, do they have words that are text in? So, Fred, my who needs coffee? My blood's pumping now, thanks to you, buddy. Yeah. That's how this works. So, no, I do not have tickets for you. Also on the text line, and we're going to hit up Brittany and Chad Holmes with this as well. When I mentioned that it's National Eat Your Vegetables Day, or Eat Your Veggies Day, however it was, we had some comments from, I think, Alicia says, oh, hey, I get my fresh veggies delivered today. So she is it a veggie subscription that she's got maybe going here? And so then we got from Luke Mathers, we got, you know, corn, because you said corn was a favorite vegetable.
Yeah.
I was like, nope, people are going to push back, including the handsome and capable Luke Mathers, who says corn is a grain. Vegetables don't exist. They're an illusion. All things you think are vegetables are truly something else. I could go down this rabbit hole for hours, which I was like, yes, by all means. Tell. And then Alicia says, I would contest that vegetables are the umbrella over all the groups of food that are considered vegetables, which is kind of breaks your brain if you think about it for a bit here. But
yeah,
I mean, so that gets into the is a tomato a fruit? Is a corn a vegetable? Is it a grain or whatever? Brittany, none of us are master gardeners like no. Kristen Lyerly. We should have got her to talk about this instead.
Did we forget to ask Hans about this?
Hans is a dairy farmer. His view on vegetable farming is probably going to be a little different.
His credentials are far closer to this than ours, Pat.
Milking a cow is now closer to being a vegetable farmer than Chad Holmes running things, calling high school sports, Mr. Holmes. Wouldn't you agree? Take yourself off mute before you answer that question, though, of course, first. He's going to think about his
answer. I tell you, I am so stupid. Every day I come on here, I come on with my mute on because I don't want to be making noise in the background, and then it's always you talk to me, and then I open my mouth and nothing comes out.
It's like, yeah.
I Now I forgot the question.
Do you get it? Do you get into these discussions about whether certain things are a fruit or a vegetable or anything like that?
Well, I mean, I think along that line that you can talk about whether it's fruit, vegetables, and there's so many other areas of life that you actually kind of get into where people kind of disagree whether or not the parameters fit within, you know, the two guardrails. I think that, you know, that's kind of a microcosm of a lot of discussions I think we have. You can maybe even make politically with guardrails. So
we are getting so that way. Deep. We're getting so deep on what is a vegetable, man? You know, Alicia's point out there. Brittany, any input on what's a fruit? What's a vegetable? What's your favorite? What should be banned?
Like, I could care less what you call it, but I love all of it. Fruit, vegetables. I'd probably say green peppers. I'm obsessed, weirdly enough, with green peppers. I can just eat them straight. I can bite into them like an apple. I'm a weird one, but I love them.
There is one substance on earth that is like kryptonite to me.
Ooh,
and it is green peppers. Let's say you order pizza, and let's say that it is an otherwise perfect pizza. I love to get like pepperoni, sausage, mushroom. If there is one little bit of green pepper, because you know sometimes when they make a pizza, they grab from the ingredients and things spill over. If there is one little green pepper on that pizza, I can smell it. It has this immediate gag reflex, and I will not just throw the pizza away. I will find an incinerator to burn it first.
You can probably with the pineapple.
You can probably still smell the green peppers on my fingers because last night on my way home from work, I stopped at the store. I bought a frozen pizza along with with a green pepper and an onion to add to my pizza.
I wish I could communicate to our listeners what Pat's face just did.
I cut up the green pepper and I put it all over. Lots of green peppers on that pizza.
I was an extremely picky eater as a child. I have come leaps and bounds in all the things that I eat now that I didn't eat as a kid. But man, there is something about green peppers. I don't know what, but
I get you. I'm with that.
I don't know if I can come on the show anymore after this.
You and Brittany just want to do green pepper talk?
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Head over to North Hudson where they do Pepper Fest, you know, every summer. Speaking of Master Gardener Kristen Lyerly, I did send a note asking how they were doing because I know there was a tornado warning up where she was in the Hibbing area.
Yes.
And she texted back saying, "We're all good here. We did have to pull a bunch of patients into the hallway until the tornado warning passed, but I don't think there's severe damage near me. They're just not used to tornado warnings up north the way that we are. They're pretty rare in northern Minnesota, which is ironic since Judy Garland was born up there."
Yes, she was.
Before that whole tornado thing took her away to the land of Oz.
Isn't
so
that ironic?
But it got really, some of these cells were super strong, Brittany. And, you know, we got more showers and thunderstorms in the future here.
Yes, it was a pretty scary night last night up in Minnesota. And, of course, that tornado watch extended into portions of northwest Wisconsin, where one storm did stay strong. And that storm earlier in Minnesota produced a tornado. So it's a good thing that it weakened as it moved into Wisconsin. And like Kristen said, yeah, they're not used to these strong storms that far north. I mean, they get thunderstorms, but usually they don't pack a tornado. So that was a rare evening. Now today, we're calm this morning. Nothing's really going on. We've got a few clouds hanging on up north. Temperatures in the 60s. There's sunshine down south. Temperatures in the 70s. And today we are going to warm things up. It is still sticky, kind of muggy out there. Highs will reach 80 degrees up north, near 90 down south. And down south, you're in a risk for some marginal thunderstorms today, probably starting around 4 or 5 or so this evening, kind of ending around 9. And a few of those could have some gusty winds and some hail with that. Now, this is, of course, into the Madison, Milwaukee area this evening. Up north, we're going to stay mainly dry. And then tomorrow, another big low-pressure system targets the entire state, and it's going to move in probably by the afternoon, right around noon or so, and it's going to turn widespread as we go into the evening. Pretty heavy rainfall is expected in places, southern half of the state, where we could see 1 to 2 inches of rainfall, which, of course, puts us in a risk for an excessive rain, which causes flooding. So keep an eye out for that. So a wet night tonight south, and all day looking at some rain statewide tomorrow.
All right. Keep an ear out for that local forecast then. Brittany, thank you so much. I'm going to go talk to Chad some more about green peppers, if you don't mind. So
give it to him. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you a little bit later on. First, again, our reminder as usual, you can sign up for our Up North News daily newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. And if you can't catch this show live and want to listen by podcast, head over to Spotify and be a subscriber, or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. But we'd love to have you a Spotify subscriber as well. So Chad has been covering things around Wausau, which have included far less sports than it used to be as the sports season finally winds down. I was joking with Jimmy Cuska yesterday about how, you know, you guys, this is like the closest thing you get to a break where you could, you know, hibernate for a while before you have to start covering high school football again. Or does it not feel like that yet?
Oh, this is, I mean, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever you want to say, in terms of I have a pattern in my life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a circle.
This circle that goes around, whether it's a week, a month, or a year, and this is the time where you do kind of take that step back, because between the winter and the spring, it gets very busy and hectic and a lot of running around, and it's actually nice to be able to go home and cut my green pepper and have a meal at the normal time and not have to wait till 9 or 10 o'clock after getting home from doing a ball game or something like that to enjoy a meal.
And then I wanted to ask as well, because you do sometimes head over to play a little poker in some of these tournaments. Is this the time of year where you might be contemplating that again?
In about 3 weeks, I will be heading to Vegas. And in fact, this year, I am crossing off a bucket list item.
Ooh.
I've always gone out there, but I've never played the main event, which is the big one, the number one tournament, the world championship event. And I'm going to do that this year. So I'm flying out there, and the 4th of July falls on a Friday. So it's nice to have that little extra day. Mm-hmm. Then I'm taking vacation the following week. And I'm flying out there, and on the 4th of July, I will be sitting in for the main event of the World Series of Poker. So,
wow.
I've been putting away for it for a couple of years, and I've decided I'm going to splurge a little bit for once.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Yeah, good luck. It's going to be a lot of fun here.
It's going to be hopefully a lot of fun. I don't just want to make sure I don't get, you know, sit down and then get busted in 10 minutes or something like that. But
You know, it's like all those reality shows, you know, where somebody's like the one who gets cut in the very first show. And you really don't want that to be you, but it does
and
happen.
If I win it, then you have to get somebody else to fill this spot.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. And you'll be, and guess what? You'll be their first guest. But as you're leaving for whatever island you're going to go live on, you know,
I'll be the next Kreitlow who went off to an island for a while. Right.
That's exactly. Trust me, I can recommend. Yes. So getting to some sports that are decidedly not high school. But I wanted your impression because, I mean, I am firmly in the Shohei Ohtani fan club. And so last night, 21 months after Tommy John elbow surgery, he was back on the pitcher's mound and did give up a pair of two-strike hits, did give up one run, but he also hurled one of his fastballs at 100.2 miles an hour in his return to the mound. And then after retiring a batter for the third out, Ohtani did not go to the dugout. Instead, he put on his batting gloves and other equipment and walked over to the on-deck circle to lead off the bottom of the first inning. This guy, Chad, I don't have to say anything else. This guy.
I know. I mean, it truly is. We are seeing a guy that is Babe Ruth. I mean, for those folks 100 years ago, I mean, Babe Ruth started as a pitcher and then became a pitcher hitter. And then they decided, well, we're not going to pitch him anymore. Ohtani is a little bit different in that he wants to be that two-way guy. Wants to be that pitcher. I saw an article just the other day saying, well, you know, why bother with this pitching? You know, it's like he is such an incredible hitter, but this is an amazing thing that we're seeing. I mean, as you said, these 100-mile-per-hour pitchers, I mean, there's a reason why these arms are blowing out. They don't pace themselves anymore. And I just think that that's partly the team's fault because they don't, it's not the, well, after six innings, I'm too tired to go out there. It's because they go out 100%. Right. There's no thinking man's game in terms of the mound. But for Ohtani, I mean, just an amazing, amazing story. And it's just, I don't think people really appreciate it, to be honest with you.
I don't either, which is why I bring it up in segments like this, because, again, here's a guy that's been recovering from surgery for pitching, and yet he's still hitting. He's batting .290. His 25 home runs leads the National League, along with 41 RBIs already. The guy's just a phenom. So when he took the pitching mound last night for the Dodgers, I just wanted to call attention to it and allow us a few minutes to ooh and ah about that. Chad will be talking much more local sports, local news on his local updates on 98.9 WXCO and, of course, on the Civic Media app as well. And he visits with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We'll talk to you again real soon.
You too, Pat.
All right, Chad, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Again, 98.9 WXCO on the Civic Media app. Some of you will get a local update. The rest will be back here for a bit. And in 15 minutes, Dan Schaefer from the Heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A little follow-up now on a story we talked about last week, and that would be wake boats, the ones that are specially modified for wakes that you can basically surf behind. They make a lot of noise. They can cause a lot of damage. There are local communities that are seeking to ban them. There are some people that are taking those bans to court trying to overturn them. We were talking about Burnett County last week, but also we see a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from a few days back that supervisors in the town of Manitowish Waters passed an ordinance earlier this month on wake-enhanced boating in its jurisdiction. This story by Paul A. Smith in the Journal Sentinel. The rule would prohibit artificial wake enhancement activities on 9 of their lakes that are more than 50 acres in size within the town's borders, including 7 lakes on the Manitowish Chain, a northern Wisconsin destination very popular for boating and fishing. It's the latest in a statewide trend toward control of wake-enhanced boating. The rules typically prohibit the artificial enhancements, but not the use of wake boats themselves, including Manitouish waters. Some 54 Wisconsin communities have now passed similar ordinances, according to Richard Phillips of the Last Wilderness Alliance, a nonprofit that helps towns to establish the rules. But as we mentioned, there's also been folks that have been taking these communities to court to try to stop the bans. And we discussed last week whether this is something where the state legislature could be a help or a hindrance in terms of either setting a statewide standard one way or the other, or they could be a hindrance by being completely permissive to wake boating statewide despite what communities want, and by not allowing communities, if they want, to have stronger requirements and stronger restrictions. And that would track if that's what the legislature ultimately did, because as I've mentioned before, the folks running the legislature now took power 14 years ago promising to be the party of local control. And they've turned out not to be. They're the party of control. And they have been trying to control local units of government wherever possible if they go in a direction that they feel is not far right enough for them. There had been a meeting last month, according to the Journal Sentinel story, that was set up by Tomahawk Republican Senator Mary Falskowski, the Senate president, but it apparently did not produce an agreement among the various Republican legislators and lobbyists for the boating industry and a group that was formed to advocate for wake surfing restrictions. So, again, according to Paul Smith's story, no wake-enhanced boating bill has been introduced in this particular legislative session yet, which is not to say it can't still happen, either as its own piece of legislation, or it could happen in the budget. And I know what you're saying is, wait a minute, I heard that they took all of Governor Evers' policy ideas out of the budget bill. They do that every year, where they take policy out of the budget, claiming a budget should just be a fiscal document. And then they can sprinkle back in whatever they want in there. Because fiscal matters and policy matters are quite often intertwined. And so it's a convenient reason to say, well, we're not going to do what the governor wants, but we may still do what we want to do. And if that's the case, it won't be a big surprise. We spoke earlier about Congressman Derek Van Orden and his online rants, which have become just way past offensive and moved on to embarrassing. Well, along with trying to slash Medicaid and other things to help send money over to tax cuts for billionaires, the congressman has found another use for money, and that's to create a new military medal. And that medal is all about service on the border with Mexico. He has introduced the Border Operations Service Medal Act to honor U.S. service members and federal personnel who have defended the southern border under President Trump's 2025 National Emergency Declaration. The bill directs the Secretary of Defense to create and issue a Border Operations Service Medal to recognize military and National Guard personnel who served in designated border operations beginning January 1st, 2025. The medal will be authorized for wear in accordance with uniform regulations and recorded in the recipient's official service record. Now, let me be very clear about how I'm responding to this. Without any knock whatsoever on the military, and without any knock on anybody who would serve in that area and earn that kind of a medal, when I say about the entire program, give me a break. We have a Border Patrol. And we have a Border Patrol that could have been enhanced long ago before bringing politics into moving the military to our border with Mexico. All you would have had to do is have a bipartisan agreement to increase funding for the Border Patrol, increase funding for enhanced surveillance techniques, the likes of which were proposed by people like Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. But instead, by, I would contend, hiding behind our brave military and using them for partisan purposes, we have folks who have signed up to defend our country and to serve, knowing very well it may be overseas, to instead be put down at the border, taken away from their families and other roles that they could be playing, because it's easier for Republicans in Congress and in the White House right now to use our military as a prop, witness last Saturday's parade, rather than be more respectful toward our military and use it in the ways that it was intended. There's still time to do this. I mean, Congress still hasn't passed a budget yet. They could, again, come back to that bipartisan agreement to enhance border security, have a border patrol, which too could be worthy of service that deserves medals, without having to do something like this, which simply enhances the myth that this is a military operation, when what this truly is a political failure from the right wing that controls our Congress and the White House today. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area about the State Democratic Convention coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network, and you're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the deadline for submitting applications to join the Beaver Management Plan Committee is this week. The agency is seeking organizations that focus on things like trapping, fishing, agriculture, and conservation. The committee will be tasked with providing input to the Department of Natural Resources during the development of an updated beaver management plan. More information can be found on the DNR's Beaver Management Plan webpage, and applications will be accepted until Friday. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley released a statement on Friday criticizing the level of school funding in the budget approved by the Republican-controlled Joint Committee on Finance. Dr. Underley said the budget motion fails the state's students, educators, and public schools, arguing that it raises property taxes, cuts youth mental health funding, and doesn't support students with disabilities. School funding has become a controversial topic in recent years as districts across the state turn to operational referendums to solve their budget issues. Law enforcement authorities say a recent investigation into an alleged assault in Washburn County led to the recovery of methamphetamine and an explosive device. According to court documents, authorities were investigating 40-year-old Jonathan Bryan of Trigo in connection to an alleged violent assault in the county when they made the discovery. Bryan now faces charges of possession of an improvised explosive device and methamphetamine, as well as intimidation of a witness. The Marathon County Bomb Squad assisted in the disposal of the explosive device. Two men have been charged in relation to an armed burglary investigation involving a 12-year-old in Cumberland earlier this month. According to court documents, 19-year-old Logan Draper of Watertown and 18-year-old Christopher Glazer of Oconomowoc were each charged with felony armed burglary, theft of movable property, and intentionally contributing to delinquency. The pair, along with the victim's 12-year-old daughter, are accused of breaking into the home and stealing a safe containing two firearms and about $30,000 worth of cash and coins. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lilo and Stitch has finally been dethroned, and there is a new box office champ. How to Train Your Dragon was number one this past weekend with a whopping $83 million. The film brought in another $115 million overseas for a total of about $200 million worldwide. Universal Studios has already given the go-ahead for a live-action sequel. Lilo and Stitch still managed to come in second place in its fourth week with $15.5 million at the gate. So far, PG movies are king this summer as How to Train Your Dragon joins the Minecraft movie and Lilo and Stitch as box office titans. According to Variety, PG movies have generated almost half the box office take for the year to date and crossed over $1.5 billion. Coming in third place was A24's Materialists. The rom-com for adults brought in $12 million, exceeding expectations by a couple mil. And it's all about action for the final two films in the top five, which include Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and John Wick's Ballerina. Dead Reckoning has made over a half a billion worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 55. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers or a thunder shower and a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking with James Small about rural EMS outreach across the state of Wisconsin and also fusion voting. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Dan Schaefer coming along in just a moment here. First off, a reminder. Earlier in the show, I was about to promote my Facebook page, which for the longest time was called Pat Kreitlow Up North, because I'm still here at Up North News, founding editor of Up North News. We started Up North News Radio, but then we made that show change to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. So I changed the name of the page to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, but I realized the website name still said Pat Kreitlow Up North, and so I can proudly announce that I fixed this all by myself and that the new URL is up. So if you go to facebook.com/morningswithpatkreitlow, you'll find the page there, my professional journalistic political page, whatever you want to call it, where I also stream the show. Though it'd be better if you listened on one of the Civic Media radio stations or Civic Media Facebook, Civic Media YouTube, Up North News Facebook, Up North News YouTube, but it's on this page as well if you care to follow along there. And even if you can't spell Kreitlow, K-R-E-I-T-L-O-W, you'd be able to find it. Search long enough and it's there. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Pat Kreitlow as well. So fresh, new, shiny URL for the Facebook page. From the text line, Jim in Brookfield. Hi, Pat. Is it only a green pepper dislike? Do you eat red, orange, and yellow? They add a lot to a stir fry and taste great, though I agree green peppers not so much. It's an excellent question, Jim. Yes, I have had red, orange, and yellow peppers. I don't seek them out, but if they're in something that's served, you know, I do eat them. They're still not my favorites. I mean, they're okay. I think any peppers, jalapeno, otherwise they really enhance a food, but I'm not crazy about them by themselves. But there is just something about green peppers, and I can't explain it. I'm just saying it's there, and clearly that's why Chad Holmes and Brittany Merlot are never going to invite me to dinner, and if they do, I know exactly what they'll be serving. Here's a young man who eats all of his fruits and veggies on this National Eat Your Veggies Day, Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area. Mr. Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. Thank you so much for having me on. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And glad to hear about the new Facebook page and all of that. Good stuff. Being all tech savvy.
Yes, and a picky vegetable eater as well. So were you a picky eater growing up? Or are you one of those that you eat anything and everything?
A little bit more of a picky eater growing up, but not so much now. So,
okay.
See,
we can be adults.
I'll have some green peppers on pizza, maybe, if you do like peppers and onions and mushrooms kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you were in the Dells at the state Democratic convention over the weekend, which I would have done if I didn't have that previous commitment to Canada, not realizing that in visiting friends there, I was going to spend an extra day against my will. But that was the airline's fault, not anybody at Immigration's, Customs Enforcement, anything like that. So while I was in Canada, you were in the Dells. They elected a new chair. I'm sure they talked all about next year. And I imagine that one can go to the Recombobulation Area in the very near future and get some of your takeaways from the convention.
Yeah, I had a couple stories that I posted over the weekend while I was there. I had an opportunity to interview the keynote speaker for the event, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, So go check that one out at the recombobulation area. And then I wrote a story about the chair vote on Sunday with Devin Remiker coming out ahead over Joe Zepecki and William Garcia. It did go to a second round of rank in the ranked choice vote there, which I thought was pretty interesting. But so you can read that there. And I'm also writing a kind of a longer what recombobulation era readers will be accustomed to reading after big events that I cover. You know, 10 takeaways is typically what I will do there. And I'm finishing that up now. You know, it was my number one takeaway on the list as I'm going through it here is it was really the Ben Wickler show. It was, you know, Ben Wickler celebrating his the end of his run, his 6 years as chair of the state Democratic Party. He took the stage. I lost count of how many different times that he took the stage over the course of the week. Obviously, some ceremonial duties bringing it in and out. But he also delivered a 17-minute speech of his own, a really powerful one. He also joined Senator Tammy Baldwin during her primetime address to kind of have a conversation between the two of them instead of just hearing the senator speak. And, you know, so much of what was talked about was, you know, just the last 6 years of his leadership and what that has meant to transform the party. And I think in so many ways, if we look from 2010 to 2018 in Wisconsin politics, we can characterize that as the Walker era. Perhaps 2019 to 2025 could be characterized as the Wickler era.
Oh, I think that's entirely fair. And that is not a knock on Tammy Baldwin or Mark Buchan or Gwen Moore or anybody else. But I mean, it is a pace that he set. It is, you know, a fundraising era of productivity that will probably be unmatched in state Democratic Party history. And look, I know at a convention, folks are naturally upbeat. Even Democrats, sometimes they do form circular firing squads and things like that, which is why I asked this question. Yes, they celebrated Ben Wickler. Did you feel like the delegates were in a healthy place going forward? Or did you get a sense that there was a lot of, you know, woe is me, Ben Wickler's going, the party is going to lose momentum and things like that?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of optimism. I think, you know, just from throughout the weekend, I think, you know, even though there was a lot of competition between, especially between the top two candidates, Remiker and Zepecki in the race, I think most people liked both of the candidates and just had to decide which of the two candidates they liked more. But I also think, you know, it's just, yes, they're Wicklers are big shoes to fill. And as I grabbed a quote from the Wisdom's treasurer. I don't know how many other people were taking note of that particular speech in the convention, but Treasurer Randy Udell, who is also a state representative, he said that the party operated at an unprecedented scale in 2024, raising nearly $70 million, saying this performance exceeded that of any state party across the country. So that is quite the legacy to leave with the party and some big shoes to fill. But I think overall, the mood, I think the spring election results have absolutely reinvigorated the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I do wonder what this convention would have been like had that election not happened, had it been, you know, just coming off of the loss against Donald Trump last fall. You know, if that was the main topic that people were thinking about, but I think with the spring election, any mention of Susan Crawford, any mention of defeating Elon Musk got just raucous applause in the building. So I think that those results from April, you know, certainly had an impact nationally, but obviously had a clear impact on the state of mind from Wisconsin Democrats, that's for sure.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area and Civic Media's political editor from Tony Up and Ashland on YouTube. I think the next era could be Representative Mark Buchan, really liking what he's doing recently. Bernie Sanders even mentioned him as someone to watch. That wouldn't surprise me. And I think part of that, I'm not giving Derek Van Orden credit here, but could be the Van Orden effect where Mark Buchan felt like, well, somebody's got to stand up to this guy, or he's just going to bully his way through and truly be Wisconsin's next Joseph McCarthy. So, but it's not just Van Orden. Mark Buchan has been increasingly vocal about what the Progressive Caucus among House Democrats should want and what they stand for.
Yeah, he's been, you know, I think his profile is certainly rising in a number of ways. He's had some high profile moments questioning members of the Trump administration. And yes, he was there at the convention this weekend. He delivered a speech too. He talked about, you know, dealing with Derek Van Norden and how he, Mark Pocan of the second district, has held more town halls in the third district than Derek Van Orden has this year. So he's really making an effort there to, you know, really put Mr. Van Orden on notice, and boy, doesn't he need it. You and I know that well.
Oh, do we ever. So you wrote this column last week asking if Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term. At any point, were any food products thrown at you during the convention or people just coming up to you just to boo? Anything like that? How were you received in the Dells this weekend?
There was a lot of feedback about that column. I will say that a lot of the conversations that I had were off the record, so I'm not going to share any of the details with that. But I do think there were a lot of people who I would say are more receptive to it than what you might see publicly right now. I'll just say that. Didn't have any problems with the food and the drinks and all that. Didn't wake up with any arrows in my back. You know, or anything like that. You know, it's one thing to write a column like this, calling for a very well-liked Democrat to step aside and not seek another term right before the convention. But, you know, people can disagree without being disagreeable. I think there are a lot of issues that are fake both sides, conversation. I think this is an actual both sides conversation. I think this is one that, you know, I think there can be a case to be made that Evers is the right person to run again. And obviously I made the case that he'd be better off passing the torch. And so Evers did not give any indication on what he's going to do in his roughly, he had a fairly short speech, about between 10 and 15 minute speech that he delivered at the convention. You know, obviously he had a presence there. He had an ice cream hospitality suite going during the afternoon of the convention, very on brand for the governor. But there was really no indication of whether or not he would be running, even though the theme of the convention overall was the road to 2026. So I think clearly it's going to be a big question going forward. The party had some decisions to make this weekend. You know, this was kind of a definitely had people talking. This column did, but any takes on it, you know, might be forthcoming in the weeks ahead. Who knows, though?
It was a very it's a very earnest question, and some very earnest emails have come in. We made it our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter. Should Governor Evers run for a third term? Folks can respond to it themselves by sending us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. I read through some of them yesterday, and I will through the course of the week again. But I just wanted to second that note that this is something that people feel very genuine about. I won't say strongly. It's probably something they weren't thinking much about until recently, but they have some very genuine feelings about, you know, whether he should or should not run for another term. And for folks saying, well, you know, is this going to have an impact on next year's race? I would point out that the election is still, you know, just under a year and a half away. This convention weekend will be a distant memory by that point.
That's true. And, you know, the governor has said that he's going to make this decision after the budget process is over. There's some things we could talk about when it comes to the budget process.
Oh, but wait, there's the budget process. We started the program this morning with that social media post from Chris Kapinga from Waukesha County saying, well, you know, if I got to vote for what joint finance my fellow Republicans are giving me, well, maybe I just would rather not have a budget at all. I think to a degree that's actually telegraphing what Republicans might want to do. And I'm giving you all of 30 seconds to tell me if you think it's a real possibility or not that Republicans would just not send the governor a budget.
I think it's interesting. We also saw how the Scott Walker boosted that comment from Chris Kapinga on his social media feed as well. So that's interesting. You know, we've heard before that they might need Democratic votes in the state Senate to pass a budget. Maybe they just don't even pass a budget at all.
It's very possible. Yeah, exactly. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and political editor for Civic Media. A local update is coming up for some of you. For those of you hanging here, we'll have some final news and notes from our visit with Dan Schaefer. And then tomorrow, we've got Melissa Baldoff. We'll talk about the climate. Melissa Kay James Kelly, Earl Ingram, Todd Alba, and remember you can follow my team at Up North News all day long through our newsletters, social media, website at upnorthnewswi.com, and of course, right here, mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Alba Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, as Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, we've got Brewers Cubs beginning this evening, pregame at 6:30. On several Civic Media stations. And so, of course, head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Dan Schaefer is with us from the Recombobulation Area, and we may not have enough time to get into Bucks and Brewers and everything, but Brewers Cubs, I mean, you won't not watch that this week. This is going to be a big series.
And am I remembering that's in Milwaukee for that series too, right? Is that right? Or is it on the road?
Nope, this is on the road.
It is on the road. Wrigley. Okay. Yep. So, you know, I live not too far from the stadium on the west side of Milwaukee. So you can always tell when it's a Cubs weekend and they just come take over half of the town.
Yes, I know. And it's a nuisance, a necessary nuisance that we have to put up with for Brewers and Cubs. But anyway, let's get back to some of what Dan's covering over at the Recombobulation Area. And we were talking about the convention before. And obviously one of the challenges that they talk about is what we call messaging, which is simply, you know, how are you talking to the people? Are you talking to the people like a real person, or are you not connecting with them? And obviously, there was a lot of talk about that after Donald Trump won back the White House. So how would you characterize the chatter about messaging to the public?
Yeah, I think that became, you know, a pretty key topic among those who were running for chair. Joe Zepecki, no stranger to the listeners here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You know, he's a regular voice for Democrats on the airwaves. And one of the things that that he talked about in his campaign for chair, I think his first public statements about that campaign for chair, was how Democrats have got to do better when it comes to communicating and having better, more effective communicators. I absolutely agree with Zepecki on that point. You know, I think you've had Devin Remicker on your show. I think a couple other civic media shows have had him on there. So it's not like he's a stranger to making a media appearance. But I think of the two candidates, Zepecki, that was clearly a strong point in Zepecki's column, the media approach. And one thing that I heard kind of over the course of this chair race or whatever is that, you know, the fact that Sarah Godlewski is going to be the first vice chair. She ran for that role and was unopposed and elected to be the next first vice chair. Felicia Martin has been in that role for the last 6 years for the full duration of Ben Wickler's time there. But I do wonder if Sarah Godlewski is going to take a more public-facing role with the party, given some of the, you know, the fact that she's been a candidate and has a little bit more of a media background than Remicker. I do wonder if that's going to be a dynamic ahead of us for you know, that aspect of kind of this next chapter for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as well.
Well, I think that she now has reason to, whereas simply as Secretary of State, you know, she did, although you run as a Democrat, was probably looking to be above some of the partisanship that's out there. And now as an officer in the Democratic Party, I would not be a bit surprised to have her, you know, be more vocal on a lot of these issues. Over the period of the convention, of course, is when we learned about the tragedy in Minnesota, the shootings, the killings, the woundings, and the arrest of the assailant as well. And I can't even imagine what that was like, being at the convention and listening to people talk about the era that we live in these days.
Yeah, it certainly brought a different kind of tone to the convention overall. And there was, as soon as I got there, it was after the news broke in the morning, and made it my way over to the resort in Wisconsin Dells. There was already a pretty substantial security presence, at the hotel and throughout the convention. And so that had ramped up. And I think we've learned, you know, even just in the last 24 hours here, that many, Wisconsin Democrats had their names, on, this manifesto or whatever they're calling it from this Minnesota assassin. I think Tammy Baldwin's office confirmed with me yesterday that that she was on the list. I think Gwen Moore has talked about this publicly. Kelda Royce, who was also there, talked about this publicly. And so it certainly had people a little bit shook, and with good reason. And, you know, they were still looking for this individual at the time. And you know, it's just another reminder of the frightening political moment that we're living in, and the you know, the real threats and fears that people in elected office are facing in this day and age.
Well, they are, and obviously the broader topic has been political violence and political rhetoric. What I've heard less about, because it didn't fit the definition of a mass shooting, but this is still another instance of how the easy availability of guns, especially, you know, semi-automatic weapons, some of the same kind of weapons that are used in mass shootings, were a part of this. And I think, again, we're gonna hear thoughts and prayers from folks, but I sure would like that discussion to center on where these guns came from and whether there are ways to make them less available to whoever wants to do this again. And sadly, there is somebody that's going to see this and go, oh, maybe that's what I want to do next.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think I was watching The Daily Show last night. Jon Stewart talked about this a little bit and talked about how Republicans' message about immigration is just any one, you know, any one person who comes across the border and commits an act of violence is too much. But, you know, we're never going to have that same type of conversation when it comes to gun violence in this country.
No.
Which is frustrating. But I think, you know, it was great to see so many of the people who, you know, maybe were directly part of that list, maybe just had their friends on it, whatever it might be, you know, soldiering on throughout the weekend and, you know, keeping the head held high and keeping the eyes forward on, you know, looking to the future and continuing kind of like the larger theme of the convention and all of that. And,
correct. The work
involved some courage there. That's for sure.
That's right. The work goes on. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Read his stuff over at Civic Media as well. Thank you, Dan. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Pat. Be well.
All right. Thank you. Coming up next will be Matt and Air on Air, along with Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. My thanks to today's guests, Dan Schaefer, Chad Holmes, Luann Bird, Hans Breitenmoser, Dan Hagen, and of course, Brittany Merlot and Parker Olson, and to all of you for being here this morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, home of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom. Enjoy your day. We'll see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Less spending. Retail sales fell sharply last month after a spike in March, says the Commerce Department. Analysts say consumers are trying to get ahead of President Trump's tariffs. The decline was driven by a drop in car sales. President Trump's back in Washington because of the Iran-Israel attacks, suddenly leaving the G7 summit in Canada. The president says he's aiming for a permanent end to the fighting. ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv.
Missiles between Israel and Iran exchanged, more air raid sirens, more attacks overnight here and again this morning. President Trump appearing to row back his remarks, saying he isn't warning people inside Iran. He wants them to be safe, but anything's possible.
The number of deaths from weekend flooding in West Virginia has gone up to at least 7, says the governor. A federal judge orders the Trump administration to restore hundreds of research grants cut by the National Institutes of Health. The judge calls the cancellations arbitrary and illegal. This is ABC News.